Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 400, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 400.
Thank you. This afternoon we wish to read, continue with the same chapter as this morning from John 6. But before that, we read the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He had descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 6, beginning with verse 52. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, Lord of this whole universe, Lord of thy own church, thou who reignest in the heavenly height, who carest for thy church, and who makest all things work together for their good in this world, every providence that must be experienced, and they often believe that it all goes against them, and yet thou leadest them in the right way unto a city of habitation, and they by times may receive a little rest in this wilderness, so that they may say, This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles. The lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. Oh, that thou who feedest thy people, and maybe give thy people also to rejoice in that heritage. Oh, we may acknowledge thee for what thou hast provided for thy church, even from that never begun eternity. It is so far beyond our comprehension, and we grovel each and every day in the midst of all the earthliness, all the sensuality, all the worldliness that is here below. But thou, with thy church victorious, dost rejoice about that throne. Oh, that thou may give a little eye continually to look upon thee, to eat and to drink of that meat and of that blood, that thy people may be given, so to speak also, in the midst of this perishing world, that sound may go forth, that others may also become jealous, and that portion of thy people, wherein that thou maintainest their lot, may appear also unto others beautiful and precious, that there may be a desire to forsake the world and every former friend. Oh, that there may be sweet longings and desires after the true and the living God, that thy dear Son may become more and more precious unto those that have nothing in themselves, and that can find nothing day by day, that must perish outside of thee, for without thee we can do nothing. O Lord, that thou may remember thy church continually, for thou dost build them up, and thou dost give them to rejoice in thee. But there is still a way that lies before them, and for this reason thou dost give them strength. For it is a waste, howling wilderness here below, and thou knowest what yet must be endured before that they may lay their bodies down in the grave. Oh, that thou may go before thy church, that thou may strengthen for all that lies before them, and that thou may give courage in the way, that thou may remember all those that stand afar off. All those that do yearn for waters from thy fountain, Lord, wilt thou may all those that seek thee and make thee their choice, a great gladness and blessedness see. And may all those who love thy salvation rejoice and constantly magnify thee, or they may not see it in the moment. They may have so many troubles that they are afraid that will drown them in perdition. But, oh, do give them with thy servant to say to God, will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. Oh, that they may learn also to cleave at thy throne of grace, for thou wilt never forsake them that put their trust in thee. Oh, that thou wouldst make them glad in the midst of all their sadness, and wilt thou feed them also with thy truth, that the doctrines according to godliness may also be unto them a food and drink, and that they may be able also to rejoice by moments, to have a little taste, a little foretaste of that eternal rejoicing of thy church. O Lord, that thou may remember us when we have no such desires, for between the cradle and the grave, then something must take place in our life. Lord, thou knowest that we have by nature hearts that cleave unto this world, and we see no beauty in thee. and we have no desire for or after thee. Oh, we must be born again. It is a mighty work that needs to be accomplished upon our soul. It is not a work that is fit for a dead man. It is not a work that is fit for friends and for lovers. Lord, it is a work that is a supernatural one. It is a work which needs to come from heaven. It is a divine word that needs to be heard in the soul, that needs to say so far and no further. O Lord, could it please thee to work with might and power in the midst of us, to draw hearts that are now drawn after the world, that a man may begin to hate what before he loved, that he begin to love what he before did hate. Oh, that the heart would be drawn, for we are not able to approach unto thee. Lord, that thou mayst so look upon young and old, bless all the means that are used for the good of our souls. Remember us if we deceive ourselves, for we have hearts of ourselves that are nothing but hypocrisy. And it is a wonder if we are not left over to ourselves in the way of self-deceit. Oh, then that thou wouldst make us honest, that thou would make us upright before thee, before that we have to die and appear before thy judgment seat. Work thou with might and power in the midst of the congregation, the community in which we dwell, the churches, and all the denomination in which we belong. O Lord, thou knowest all that has taken place in the days of our forefathers. We beseech thee once again for the sending forth of thy Spirit in richer measure. We do not deserve it. We have left thee. We have departed from thee days without number, and we deserve to be left to ourselves with our children. We do seek that which is carnal and sensual. O Lord, it belongs alone to thee. It would be to thy honor and to thy glory when thou wouldst build thy church from among us, and when thou wouldst take from all the service of the world and give and bring into the service of thee. O Lord, we beseech thee for thy servants. Do strengthen each and every one in weaknesses, in difficulties, in old age. Thou knowest each one. Wilt thou supply for the students and those that are upon the mission field, those that hope to be installed there in the future? Lord, that thou may remember each one in all our circumstances, and wilt thou show that thou art he that callest, and when thou blessest thy word, and when thou bringest in a great harvest, which belongs to the time of the New Testament. O Lord, we beseech thee, do it for thy name's sake. Remember the school, all those that labor therein, the children, the youth, and in all the days in which we are living, wherein Satan's devices do become more and more deceitful. O Lord, he has experience of 6,000 years, and we have no might against the great company that cometh against us. O, we beseech thee, keep our children and our young people. Show them the blessedness of thy service. O, give them broken hearts, contrite spirits in the days of their youth. Look upon our nations in which we dwell, when we have left thee, and when we have departed, and when we have sought the ways of sin so outwardly, so openly. O Lord, bring us back again. It belongs alone to thee in thy power. Wilt thou supply for all that govern us? Give the tender fear of thy great and holy name. Be with those that suffer from addictions, those that are weak, those that have that are sickly, those that have difficulties, trials, and troubles in this world. Bless the means. Use to bring to thy footstool and to feel the need of our souls upon our journey. Help thou us. in this afternoon once again to bring a portion of thy word. Strengthen us for the labors, and wilt thou bless the word. Oh, bring it in our hearts with that power that we cannot miss and that power we do not have. Forgive and take away our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 202, all the stanzas. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in Thee. My hand is in Thy hand, Thou carest for me. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 202, and the last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund. congregation. The time after the commemoration of the Holy Supper of the Lord is especially a time of reflection, a time wherein we ought to look back and to consider. Our days are not days that are conducive to reflection. We'll ask that question, especially of you, young people, children. How often do you reflect? How often do you consider? We live in very poor days, and Satan, especially with his technology, does keep us very, very busy. And one of the things that will bring us even to damnation is that we may say in a lawful way that these are hopefully lawful things. And yet they are robbing us of all our time and all our consideration, so that there is no more time for the Lord. And so we go to our eternal destruction. Will that be also to our downfall? Why is the time after the Lord's Supper especially a time of reflection? Because the Lord has set out a calling in the midst of the congregation that has come unto us, and then there is a response that also belongs to us that has also a great significance both for this time and also for eternity. We wish to consider this with the Lord's help in this afternoon, out of the words of our text, which can be found in John 6, the verses 66 to 71. John 6, verses 66 to 71. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So far the words of our text. A threefold response to eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Christ. First, an open apostasy. Second, a cleaving confession. And third, a devilish silence. A threefold response to eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Christ. First, an open apostasy. Second, a cleaving confession. And third, a devilish silence. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" This is an hard saying. That is, it was a saying of Christ that they said was hard. Who said it was so hard? Well, we read that this people, they have asked of him a sign. They said to the Lord Jesus, Moses gave us a sign. He gave us bread from heaven. Christ answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Thus, the Lord Jesus gives an explanation. He says that I speak not of temporal things, but that I speak of spiritual things. And he declared himself to be the bread of life. The Jews, they begin to murmur. They do not believe him, as he said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And the Lord Jesus, he denounces this murmuring. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. What does the Lord do? He declares the death state of man. He says that man, he is spiritually dead. That man in a spiritual way, he is not able to help himself. He needs another power. He needs a power that is from above. And then the Lord Jesus, he begins to speak about eating and drinking the flesh and the blood of Christ. What does he mean? He says that you need the application. He says then you need to experience this in a personal way. It must become a very part of you. It is impossible for us to receive a benefit out of Christ unless that this is applied unto us. Something must be known. Something must be felt. All this we have seen, we have heard, we have participated in this morning hour when we have witnessed the commemoration of the Holy Supper of the Lord. Because that bread and that water of life that has now been distributed to those who experience and who confess that death in themselves, so that they may receive that life that is from above. And there is a people that are so glad with it. We hope to hear that. But there is first another people. And they say, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Who are they? Well, we read, many of his disciples. They are not the 12, because we read in verse 67 that he makes a distinction between them and the 12. Thus, who are they? They are part of that great multitude, that multitude that has come up to hear him, we would say, every day. They are his followers. They go out to him and they hear his words. They see the people when they are healed from their leprosy and blindness and so on. This is an hard saying. They have heard thus many sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. With many of those sayings, they were well pleased, and they have rejoiced in many of those sayings, along with the people of the Lord, the disciples of the Lord. And so they have considered themselves perhaps also one among them. But now the Lord Jesus begins to speak about spiritual bread. And when he speaks about spiritual bread, then they begin to be disappointed. Well, they have followed him for carnal reasons. The Lord Jesus, he has said this to them, that you follow me because, he says, of the loaves. Thus you do not seek me for spiritual meat, for spiritual drink. By nature, we are spiritually dead. And all of our religion does not make us spiritually alive. There is thus no place for a spiritual meat, no place for spiritual drink. Thus, how is it with us? What are we looking for? Do we desire spiritual meat and drink? Or do we look for that meat and drink that is actually natural? Do we look for the consolations, the natural consolations in life? When we are sick, when we are weak, when we are afflicted, when we are tried, then we come to the house of the Lord so that we may receive the comforts that may come out of his word. This is an hard saying. The true character of these followers, the true character of these so-called disciples of Christ, is further revealed when the Lord, he begins to speak about their spiritual deadness. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. The natural man does not want to hear about his inability. The natural man does not want to hear about his death state. He murmurs. Do we also murmur? It is a hard saying indeed. It is a hard saying for our natural proud flesh. It is a hard saying because it is a humiliating saying. It is a saying that indeed we say we will not accept it. We will not believe it. The enmity that is living within these religious followers that reaches its peak when the Lord Jesus begins to speak about an experimental religion. And when he begins to say that except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and except ye drink his blood, ye have no life in you. It is the denunciation of the supernatural religious life of man. It is the denunciation of the mere form when a man lacks all the power of religion. And this denunciation, you may be sure, that was felt by these so-called disciples, so that their conscience speaks, then they feel that they have been pointed out. And what is the result? Well, what is the result of man, the natural man, even the natural religious man, when he is pointed out? Is that then humiliation? Does he come in the dust before the Lord? No, it is just the opposite. We read, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard that saying, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Thus, we read of an open apostasy. They leave the Lord Jesus. Apostasy that does not begin openly. Did not begin there. Apostasy that begins in our heart. Where did it begin? It began, we read here, with murmuring. It began with discontent. That is congregation so very dangerous. Do you feel that discontent? Do you feel that murmuring within your heart? Because that murmuring, when it would remain in our heart, then we may know that it will end in an open apostasy one day. The seeds of that apostasy are living within the heart of every single one of us. That is a fruit of unbelief. That is what we read here. But there are some of you which believe not. That is, even though that you do follow me. The meat and the drink, the flesh and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of that holy supper of the Lord, that is actually a meat and drink that is by nature despised by man. Man does not comprehend the spiritual blessing that is in it. Man does not desire that spiritual blessing. It is to us, congregation, by nature, foolishness. Is it also with us? It was different with the 12. We read it in our second thought. A cleaving confession, will ye also go away? The Lord Jesus watches the multitude go away. They go away one by one, one after the other. We do not read that the Lord Jesus calls them back. We do not read that the Lord Jesus says one word to this departing multitude. If there was one of his sheep among them, then he had left the 99 in the wilderness, and he had gone to seek him out. But we do not read so here of this great multitude. And yet there is an evil example that is being left by this outward church, this professing church, and that evil example can also be a very strong influence upon his own children. It can be that they are influenced for a time because they cannot always fall away. But they can be influenced by these temptations because sin, that is a contagious thing, especially when sin seems to have reasonable grounds. We read that Barnabas also was carried away with Peter's dissimulation. When we sin, we do not sin only for ourselves. When we sin, we leave an example behind us, and thus we make ourselves guilty for our own soul, but we make ourselves guilty also for the soul of our neighbor, setting before him an example, and when he would follow our example, and then we bring him to that same destruction that we walk unto ourselves. Will ye also go away? So Christ asks his own disciples, that is, the 12 disciples. And there is here something very special. Why? Because the Lord Jesus here makes a distinction. That is, a distinction between his disciples and this departing multitude. He says, ye also. Thus, he says, as it were, it is one thing that this multitude would go away. It is one thing that this multitude would depart from me. But it would be a very different thing if ye would go away. Thus, the Lord shows that he expects something very different from his true church than he expects from the generality of that multitude that is following him. And why? Because that multitude that has received from him many blessings, they have eaten of that bread, that natural bread that he has given unto them. And so they sin in their going away from him. When they do not recognize who that he is, the Son of God, the blessings, no desire for them. But these disciples, these 12, They have not received only merely natural blessings. No, those disciples, they have received also spiritual blessings. And thus, the Lord has an expectation of that church that is not of this multitude. People of the Lord, what hast thou that thou hast not received? And how hast thou received it? Did you merit it? Who maketh thee to differ from another? Is there not a special requirement of you that your life would show something? We say different from the world, yes. But is there also something different from that professing that religious church? Something that is shining so that it may be seen that there is something that is received by you that is an internal blessing, a spiritual blessing that is not received by the generality of the multitude? Or will ye also go away? How many days have you not gone away? How many days have you not departed from him? Are they not days without number? How many days has your heart not sought it yet in the world? Or how often must that bridegroom not complain that he must stand without and that he must knock at the door while you are sleeping, while you are away from him? Oh, how the gifts of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, the food, the drink, the meat, how that ought to make so ashamed. Or how that the blessings of the Lord, they ought to fill that people with guilt so that they may be led once again to a true and a blessed repentance to be brought into the way again. Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is coming a day when all the disciples, also Peter here, there is coming a day when indeed they are going to go away, when indeed they are going to forsake him and flee because of their fear, because of the offense that Christ is going to give to them. And yet there is a foundation. There is a foundation that is living in the heart of Peter and of these disciples, a foundation that is not able to be destroyed. Lord, to whom shall we go? Oh, there are times when this foundation is coming into the foreground. It is coming into the foreground with blessed longings, blessed desires, blessed confessions. Or has it also come into the foreground, people of the Lord, in this morning hour? That you may come with such a confession to the table, to the place of the Lord, and to say before the flock of the Lord, O Lord, to whom shall I go? What other hope, what other expectation do I have but thee? What can be found in myself but sin? Then there is no hope except that it is found alone in thee. O Lord, to whom else shall we go? That is a people, young people, that do not need to try out every religion that is in this world. Because there are young people, they say, in order now that I must find the truth, then I have to go to see this religion and that religion, and I have to hear what they have to say and what they have to say, and then I may need to make a decision, what is the truth? Is that what Peter did? It is not necessary. And why is it not necessary? Because who has made us? God has made us. And the Lord, He knows what is the perfect fulfillment of the soul that He has created in man. And all the Lord has to do is to open the riches of Jesus Christ. All He has to do is display before a man who that Christ is, and he will find a perfect satisfaction that is fitting, perfectly fitting for that soul that God has created. And when he finds this perfect fulfillment, then he will see that there is absolutely nothing that is missing. Oh, then he says, what is lacking? What is lacking when a man may find peace, when a man may find rest with God? Paul says there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And when the Lord is opening this mediator to the soul of his own creature, then this is his experience. Then he says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter, he had heard exactly the same words as this entire multitude had heard. But that multitude, they have said of those words, this is an hard saying. But Peter says of exactly the same words, these are the words of eternal life. Oh, was he despondent? Was he disappointed when the Lord Jesus began to speak about spiritual matters rather than all the carnal things of this world? Oh, his heart, his soul, that panted after these things. And so that is in the life of that people. Oh, then they can be so tired of this world that they are longing for that spiritual meat and drink. Oh, they can be so glad when they are lifted up by the Lord a little over all of this perishing world, and that they may taste a little of those things which are heavenly. Oh, are they then beginning to murmur? When the Lord Jesus, he begins to speak about the deadness of their hearts, is it not just the opposite? Or is that not food and drink for their souls? Is it not the very experience of their heart? Are they not so very glad that is written in the Word of God? Because this is what they experience from day to day, that they may say, ah, here is the truth. Here is the truth that lives in my heart, and it is written now here in that Word of God. Oh, then they can be so glad that the Lord knows of it, that the Lord knows my deadness, that the Lord knows my coldness, that the Lord knows my inability. He knows the impossibility, and it is written in His very Word, and therefore I may hear of power. I may read of ability, a divine ability that is coming from another side. Disappointment? Murmuring? Oh no, that does not live in the heart of that people when they are reading such things. It is just the opposite. Then they do not say this is an hard saying. No, they say these are the words of eternal life. Oh, are they at enmity when the Lord Jesus, he begins to speak about the necessity of an experimental religion, that we need to know it in our heart, that it cannot be something that is just superficial? Oh, is that to them a hard saying? Is it not just the opposite? Is it not the words of eternal life? Do they not feel also the same thing? Or can they do anything with all their external religion? Can they do anything with a word in which the Lord is not present, where they do not feel that power, Do they not feel the deadness and the carnality of their own hearts, so that they are longing that they may see that they may see once again the power of the Lord, the glory of the Lord in His sanctuary? Oh, how lives it in our own heart? Is there murmuring? Is there disappointment? And when we are reading these things, when we are hearing these things out of that Word of God, or are these to us the words of eternal life that our soul may drink in, and that we may eat, and that we may drink, and that we may live? Let us sing 163, 2 and 3. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. And what follows 2 and 3 of Psalter 163. threefold response to eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Christ. First, an open apostasy. Second, a cleaving confession. And third, a devilish silence. Why? What do we read? He says nothing. He does not go away with the rest of the departing multitude, but he remains. He remains there even among the very closest circle of the Lord. Peter includes him when he speaks as a spokesman, as it were, for the rest of the disciples. To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Peter includes them. He speaks for them all. But he keeps himself hidden. He does not say what is living within his heart. He just pretends. The church that is called to charity, because the church is not able to judge the heart. But the Lord knows the heart of everyone. And Christ now warns his own disciples that he says, even of those that are closest to me, even of my own that do not defect, he says, there are also maybe chaff among the wheat. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He says that there is a worse defection that is actually going to come. It is going to be a defection even from his inner circle. Attendance at the Lord's Supper does not guarantee us anything, that we are safe from an eventual apostasy. Neither does an office, because Judas had both. And a hypocrite, he often is building himself up with the acceptance that he is receiving from other persons among God's people. But this is no safeguard. Haman, he gloated, and he said that I myself am invited to come to sit with the king and to eat with the queen. What is more odious than an office bearer who is pretending? Christ calls him a devil, the liar from the beginning, an enemy. On the pretext of being a friend, he had the bag, he had other motives. Thus, it may be that when we also come to the supper of the Lord, that a man, he has other motives, whatever they may be. You say, Christ also said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That is true. But there is a great difference with being under the temptations of the devil and the devil coming to live and to dwell in the heart of a man. Christ said concerning Peter and his true disciples, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Christ does not name Judas. There was a cause. He had an evil work to do. The time of the Lord was not come that Judas should be pointed out. The day will come that Judas is going to reveal himself. Christ does not name him. And so Christ also does not name those also today that may be among that inner circle, eating and drinking a judgment unto themselves. No, he says, my people, you must each of you watch over yourselves. It belongs to the Lord to discover the heart of an hypocrite, because we are not able to see into a man's heart. But the Lord, he sees in a man's heart. We may judge only the outward actions. We may judge only the life, the outward life of a man. This we read, we are called to judge. But the Lord, he judges the heart. And the Lord says, as it were, to his own disciples, what is it now that lives within you? Because it is a warning also to them. And when he does not name Judas, thus what is the judgment that we have of ourselves? Because we are often stricter with our neighbor than we are with ourselves, where we give ourselves lots of room, and then we give our neighbor no room. But what happens when that grace of the Lord is in exercise? O congregation, then a man sees more hypocrisy living in his own heart than he can ever imagine could be in the heart of his neighbor. And therefore the disciples, they have asked the Lord in all honesty, O Lord, is it I? It is a wonder if we may have a cleaving confession, as with Peter and his disciples, even if that we were not able to attend, to come, no freedom to the Holy Supper of the Lord. But what is now living in our heart? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Or what does Peter do? Peter's thoughts, they are thoughts about eternal life. Are your thoughts also such thoughts? Christ, he was eternal life unto Peter. And the way unto that eternal life, oh, let all those that mind that life eternal stay then in that word until they find him who is that eternal life. Peter would not hear of any separation from the Lord. Will ye also go away? That is as a dart that strikes into that heart of Peter, as if he would say, O Lord, how is it possible that you can say such a thing? Or for us to go away from thee? For there is none other in the life of that people. When the Lord is endearing that blessed Son of God unto their heart, then it is that separation that they are making by sin, which is a grief unto their soul. And they are beseeching the Lord that the Lord, he would take that separation away. Oh, whatever men in this world would think, whatever men within the church would think, then there is a thought, there is something living in the bottom of the heart of that people concerning this blessed mediator. Oh, he has become meat to their soul. He has become drink unto their soul. And then it is evident also that Peter, he has been eating and he has been drinking of this spiritual meat and drink, even though Peter himself would three times curse and swear that he did not know the Lord. and yet it is in his heart. An assurance that this was the Christ and he knew him. And that faith that is even assured that this is the Son of God, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, that thou art that Christ that was promised in the Old Testament, that thou art that Christ who is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament scriptures. And now it is this assurance, this strengthening by eating of this meat and by eating of this drink that was so necessary for these 12. Why? Because of the future. Because of what is coming. They do not know yet what is coming. But this confession of Peter that is going to be very, very deeply tried. The mere reason of the mind of a man will not be able to bring those 12 through the trials, through the furnace that is going to be coming. But it is only faith, only that true and that living faith that is in the bottom of that heart of Peter and his 12, his disciples, that is able to bring them through into the future. O people of the Lord, we cannot magnify the Lord sufficiently enough for his care over his church, because he knows everything. He knows all that is necessary for each and every one of his own. He knows that food and drink that they cannot miss. He knows the future that is coming, and when they stand in need of eating and of drinking, that they may be strengthened upon the way for the trials that do lay before them. This life that is a waste, howling wilderness, it is full of all of those trials whereof the Lord says he will bring them through the furnace, and he will try them as gold is tried and as silver, and refine them as silver is refined. That people, they shall be brought through it. They cannot come through it of their own strength. And therefore the Lord, he is giving his holy supper. Therefore the Lord is giving his children to eat by times in this world, that he may prepare them, that they may be able to stand in the day of visitation. O congregation, ask the Lord for a true beginning. There is a reason that our fathers have said that if the beginning is right, then the end will also be right. The Lord Jesus, he says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And now the way that we come, the manner of our coming that makes such a difference, how that we are brought there. Because when it is of the Lord, or when it is of our own heart, these two are a matter of life and of death. But when the Lord, he is drawing unto himself, then we will not only be brought unto him, but then that church will be kept with him. Then they will also be preserved, in order that they themselves may persevere. Oh, ask the Lord then to make that beginning right. Oh, ask the Lord, children, young people, you cannot miss this blessing that we have had displayed before us in this morning hour. We have to die. We cannot die the same way that we have been born. Do we go through this world without a care? Do I go through this world without a concern? Oh, how shall it be when death will come upon us at unawares? How will it be when suddenly we are called to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are not united unto him by a true and a living faith? Oh, then we stand in need of that Spirit of the Lord. Oh, ask the Lord to open up the enmity that lives in our heart against him, Ask him to open up something of that fountain of corruption that needs to be washed, that needs to be cleansed, or that we may be given also to hear his words, and that they may become to us in our life the words of eternal life. Then it matters not what the world will say. It matters not what the church will say concerning that second person of that blessed and divine Trinity. But he will then be unto our soul the chiefest among 10,000, altogether lovely. And what does he say then? Who shall confess me before men, him also I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, they are blessings we cannot miss. They are blessings we cannot give ourselves. We beseech thee, O thou almighty God, send forth thy Spirit. Have thou mercy upon us and upon our children. O grant us the beginning, Lord. O come thou, give us a true repentance. Make thy dear Son a blessed, precious, suitable to each and every one of us, that we may not miss the blessing on our short journey, time that is flying away. Oh, that thou may give us to take heed. Be with us in the rest of this day. Oh, bless the things that we may read when we are in our own home, that we may be able perhaps even to speak about. Give an opening in the life of thy people. Wilt thou be with us in the week to come? Keep each and every one from a sudden and an unprepared death. Give us meditation upon thee and these holy and blessed matters. Forgive our many sins. Receive our humble thanks for the help that thou hast brought us through in this day to bring thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 159, all the stanzas. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. All the stanzas of Psalter 159. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.